Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
The news is broken. Donald Trump did not get the Nobel Peace Prize. Instead, it went to a woman called Maria Corina Machado, who's a Venezuelan politician. She's the leader of the Democratic opposition, and she is quite an extraordinary woman given the situation in Venezuela, where the political landscape tends to be dominated by men, number one, but also we know the parlous situation of those who oppose the regime in that country. Well, we will obviously talk about that as the morning carries on, but now we want to go back to Gaza. Israeli tanks, in spite of the ratification by the Israeli cabinet last evening of the first phase of the ceasefire deal, tanks continued to bombard areas of the Gaza Strip overnight. Now, President Trump has said that the Israeli hostages will be released over the weekend, perhaps early in the weekend or perhaps early next week, followed by the release of around 2,000 Palestinian prisoners held by Israel. And it is expected that Donald Trump himself may decide to bask in the reflected glory of all of this by actually travelling to the Middle East. I'm joined now by John Simpson, World Affairs Editor of the BBC, author, presenter of The Unspun World on the BBC News Channel worldwide. And also, he is also going to be presenting his show, Leaders and Lunatics, at the National Concert Hall on the 6th of November. The bad news being that show is absolutely sold out. Good news for John, bad news for those who haven't booked. John, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, first of all, are you familiar with the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize?
I've heard of her. I've never met her. She's carried out a campaign, I think, for about 20 years to try to get more democracy in Venezuela. I mean, a thoroughly, thoroughly worthy winner. Personally, and this is a purely personal thing, I would rather that Yulia Navalny, the wife of the widow, of course, of the dead Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny had won it. But I don't think there was any faint chance that Donald Trump would get it. Not this time, at any rate.
And in fact, it was suggested yesterday that it would be utterly inappropriate to give it to him. In fact, even the timing of his nomination would have been off to disqualify him. But the idea of holding it over his head until next year, 2026, perhaps that might ensure there'd be some sort of a lasting ceasefire in Gaza, with the prospect of matching Obama with the Peace Prize held over his head. He might put manners on Netanyahu.
Yes. I mean, Donald Trump has got his, let's face it, critics everywhere. It is a fact that this deal with Israel is the toughest, the strongest for 30 years. And that is specifically because Donald Trump did something which no Democratic leader in the US, no Democratic Party leader was prepared to do, which was to grab Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu by the scruff of the neck and force him to do a deal. That has never been done. Joe Biden never came near to doing it. Neither did Obama. They shied away from it. They could have done it, but they shied away from it because they knew there would be too much trouble within their own party if they put serious pressure on Israel. Well, Donald Trump has done that, and it is all down to him. I remember when the first news flash came out, way down, it said that Mr. Netanyahu has telephoned the Qatari Prime Minister to apologize for the bombing of Qatar. And I thought there's something very, very different about this. I mean, Netanyahu would never in a million years have apologized for what Israel did in that respect. And somebody's made him that. Somebody is obviously Donald Trump. And it's that decision to grab him and make him do things that has got this peace agreement, which is in progress.
Do you actually believe that this is kind of an organic progression? Because there are those who would believe that this whole thing has been engineered by Trump and Netanyahu. Trump allowed him to carry on with the destruction of Gaza, and particularly the bombardment of Gaza City. They've destroyed the place, they've made it ripe for redevelopment, and then they choreograph a peace. And, you know, Donald Trump gets to do a lap of honour, takes a bow, taking credit for a peace, whereas, in fact, he helped Netanyahu progress his war.
Well, that is certainly true. Yes, I think that you can make a case out for saying that. I mean, all I would say is thank goodness for the Nobel Peace Prize, the deadlines and all of this, because if Donald Trump was foolish enough to think that he was likely to get the Nobel Peace Prize, and I don't suppose he will next year either, it's, you know, whatever the reason is, the fact that he did finally take a step which would force Netanyahu into a peace agreement is something of huge benefit to the people of Gaza. And I don't believe that there was some sort of prearranged kind of agreement whereby Netanyahu carried on knowing that the point would come where Trump would do something. I think actually that Netanyahu would have been only too happy to continue with some sort of fighting in Gaza. It puts off the dreadful time for him when people are going to start asking questions about his conduct of the war and his conduct before the war, which led to those appalling attacks by Hamas on Israeli settlements 2 years ago.
You probably saw the speculation that the Nobel Peace Committee would never, never, never give it to Donald Trump. And if they did, they would be discredited forever. I mean, they did give it to Obama at a time when he was also responsible for bombing. They gave it to Kissinger and questions over all of that. But their focus this year and what they've said is quite interesting. They say that they gave it to Maria Corina Machado for her tireless work promoting democratic rights for the people of Venezuela and for her struggle to achieve a just and peaceful transition from dictatorship to democracy. That's a work in progress, rather. They said this year's prize goes to a woman who keeps the flame of democracy going amidst a growing darkness. They say she's been a key figure, a unifying figure in Venezuelan politics. This is precisely what lies at the heart of democracy, our shared willingness to defend the principles of popular rule, even though we disagree. At a time when democracy is under threat, it is more important than ever to defend this common ground. Now, that is a slap, if you like, to Donald Trump, is it not?
Yeah.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpoints.
I suppose it is. I mean, the thing is that with something like the Nobel Peace Prize, above all, which, yes, as you say, I mean, it's gone to a lot of people that didn't deserve it. Well, several people, at any rate, who didn't deserve it. But nevertheless, you don't campaign for it. You don't make phone calls asking to be given it. I mean, that there's a sort of lack of decency about that, which must have really infuriated the Peace Prize Committee. So I think if he ever thought he might get it, the idea that he could ask them for it, surely. I mean, you'd think that even Donald Trump, a man as self-obsessed as Donald Trump, would realize that that wasn't the best way of going about it. But, you know, if it gave him a focus for his efforts to force Benjamin Netanyahu to come to the peace negotiations and to stop the fighting in Gaza, then, frankly, the Nobel Peace Prize has achieved something way beyond what it would normally do.
Now, the question of how long this can hold, you know, Hamas, 20 living hostages and the bodies of more than two dozen to be returned to Israel over the coming, the living hostages immediately in the next few days, and then the bodies of the dead over a period of days or weeks thereafter. The guarantees that Hamas got to in exchange for the only cards they were left holding, what do you understand that those guarantees might be, and who is offering them?
Well, I think you've got to realize, Pat, and I mean, I it came as quite a shock to me when I kind of added up the pluses and minuses of all this, that actually so little of the peace agreement has been either not only agreed, but even discussed. And the issue of the return of the hostages and the hostages' bodies is absolutely central to it. And without that, there would be no deal. And without that, the Israelis would be allowed still to keep hammering Gaza night and day, as they did, as you said earlier, last night. So the only guarantee, the only absolutely bankable guarantee that Hamas has got out of this is that the guns will stop firing and the planes will stop bombing. But the key issues of the future, I mean, one of the major points is the disarming of Hamas. Nobody has even talked about that, as I understand it. Certainly not been any agreement about it. And who's going to run Gaza? Well, there's this supposed board of peace that President Trump has talked about. Who's going to be on that? What will their powers be? None of this has been, I think, even discussed, let alone agreed. So all that we're actually talking about is an immediate ceasefire. And clearly Hamas feels that it's got no alternative. If Israel is offering, or America through Israel through America is offering a peace, a ceasefire, they can't be seen to say no. But there are other details. I mean, there are details about where Israel will retreat to. It will keep something like just about half of Gaza for the time being. Well, these are all things that will have immense importance as the negotiations unfold. But at the moment, as I say, I don't think they've even been talked about.
Now, the role of America in all of this, I mean, Donald Trump has elected himself chairman of the board of this authority that's going to run Gaza, with Tony Blair probably doing the heavy lifting. There'll be no American boots on the ground, but they will have some more troops deployed in the Middle East, from the Middle East forces. And there are, as we know famously, that base in Qatar, which made the attack by Netanyahu all the more unreasonable. But some of those troops are actually going to go to Israel itself. Do we know what they might do?
No, it's not clear. 200 American troops apparently are going to be sent to Israel. I imagine the kind of role that they would take would be to oversee the positions that the IDF, the Israeli forces, were taking up inside Gaza, to perhaps even help to oversee the vast amount of food and supplies that have got to be pumped into Gaza right away they may help with that kind of thing. I don't suppose anybody's worked that one out either, Pat. I mean, I think, you know, so much of this is sort of back of the envelope stuff. And, you know, somebody says, Mr. President, how many American troops should we send to Israel? And he says, oh, I don't know, 100, 200, something like that. You know, this is not part of a carefully negotiated, thought-out, pre-planning issue. It's all done just on the hoof.
Some of the techs are saying, watch out, Norway. Major uplifts in your tariffs are coming. Because no peace prize to Donald. I don't know whether that would be the case, but it's not unlikely, knowing the man's form. Now, the question, John, of how long-lasting this might be, because we saw in January how fragile the ceasefire there was. We saw joy unconfined when it was announced. We saw people celebrating in places like Khan Yunus. We saw people celebrating in Tel Aviv that the hostages might be coming home. And then it was broken by Israel. So Netanyahu gets all the hostages back, all the bodies back. They release as probably 2,000 Palestinians. And then something happens. A rocket from Lebanon, a rocket from Yemen, a rocket from inside Gaza, maybe a bus bomb in Tel Aviv planted by God knows whom. And it's all off.
I suspect it would have to be something more than even a bus bomb explosion, which of course in the past has created all sorts of has led to all sorts of results, military results. But I suspect something rather bigger would have to happen, and it's difficult for me to see what that could be. I think just simply rockets from Hezbollah from Lebanon, something like that, is not going to be enough. This is you've seen the strength, as you were saying. I mean, the dashed hopes of people a few months ago, when the deal collapsed, or the apparent deal collapsed. There's a longing for peace and quiet and calm in Israel, just as there is in Gaza. I mean, it must be much more visceral in Gaza, of course, but there is a real, real longing for peace, and all the opinion polls show that. I think any peace deal that's done now is, if it isn't permanent, it will be very strong, and something even stronger, something almost as bad as what Hamas launched the whole thing with back in 2023 would have to happen again. And Hamas is clearly now, it hasn't been destroyed as an organization, as Netanyahu promised it would be, but it's been severely defeated, both as a political and a military entity. It doesn't have any existence very much as a military entity, just as a guerrilla group. And therefore, I can't see that it'll be that fragile. There'll be, of course, threats to stop it. There'll be all sorts of hitches, perhaps on a weekly basis. But I think the actual platform that Donald Trump has managed to create, for whatever reasons, good or perhaps not so good, I think that should be established from now on.
One of my listeners wants me to ask you, do you believe that Netanyahu should be brought up and trialed by the ICC? And a number of people wondering, another listener is suggesting that Trump seeking the Nobel Peace Prize is delusional. He's waging war on innocent people and his political enemies at home in the US. And I would be suspicious of any deal where the Israelis are actually happy. When his regime ends, there will be their own version of the Nuremberg trials, with Trump, Rubio, Bondi, Miller, Patel, et al. All going to prison, along with those masked hoodlums known as ICE. That's from maybe wishful thinking from Mick in Limerick.
I think that's all pretty wishful thinking, Mick. I don't think there's any. I don't think there's a chance in a million that anybody from Israel, from any Israeli government, will appear at the International Criminal Court. At The Hague, I don't think there's a chance in hell that Donald Trump or any of the people around him will end up on trial, unless something so enormous happens in the United States that it changes everything. And but I think, you know, on the balance of things past, I don't think that anybody from the United States or from the or from Israel will end up behind bars for what's happened. And I mean, no matter how strong the desires of many, many, many people, and Mick certainly isn't alone in hoping that there would be proper justice for the crimes that have been committed, there won't be. I think we can put serious money on the notion that there won't be anybody from Israel at an ICC court. If you send somebody from Israel to the International Criminal Court, you're unraveling the whole kind of political construct of Israeli politics, and I simply don't see where that would come from.
John Simpson, BBC World Affairs editor, author, presenter of Unspun World, and also the host of his sold-out Leaders and Lunatics tour, which he's bringing to the National Concert Hall on Thursday, the 6th of November. John, thank you very, very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.